Back here on the Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. We're tapping into the Brinker's Jewelers hotline. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat is here on the Ref, breaking down last week's win against Maryland for Indiana football. The Hoosiers stay undefeated. Jim, how we doing?
Doing great, Brad. I hope everyone in Evansville's doing wonderful as we're reaching into closer to the winter with this weather. But clocks turn back, and it's not my favorite time of year, but I did enjoy the extra sleep, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, you can always fall back on some quality sleep, especially resting easy with how well this team is playing. 55-10, a win against Maryland, not necessarily a surprise, but hey, this team stays undefeated. Maryland's in shambles. They fired Mike Locksley. What are your takeaways from this game?
Well, first of all, firing Mike Locksley again, I think that any team that fires their coach at this moment, I'm like, all right, what are you thinking? You're standing in line. Where are they going to get all these guys to fill all these positions? There has never been this many openings at this time of the year as there are right now, and it just continues to grow. That's neither here nor there, but it shows you how, and I do believe this, I talked about this today on, or yesterday on Indiana Sports Beat Radio, that I truly believe this is the Cignetti effect. Mm. You've got so many of these programs, not all of them, but that are used and accustomed to winning, and they're looking at Indiana and thinking, all right, you're telling me Indiana can do this and we can't? Well, that's crap, and we're going to fire the coach and yada, yada. Well, it's not that easy. And it actually and really comes down to the fact that this is coaching. I mean, there's a lot of other things that go with it. Yes, rev share, NIL, and the transfer portal has leveled the playing field or given the opportunity for the playing field to be leveled. So then you have to go to the coaching aspect and the leaders and who's running your programs. And Kirk Cignetti is an unbelievable leader. He would be great at business. He runs it from the top down, and his people do what they're supposed to do. And then the players, they do what they're supposed to do. If you'll look around and read some national pundits now, there are a lot that are finally coming around and having to acknowledge Indiana is legit, and they don't beat themselves. That's the key thing that they all come back to, and that is the truth. They don't beat themselves, but that is because that was what has been instilled in. If you hear Cignetti talk, you hear him with all the Cignettiisms, one play at a time, and play like it's 0-0, and all of that. Well, it's true though, because that is exactly how he and his people approach it, and this is the result.
You know, Jim, I don't think that there's any doubt about that right now with how well this team is playing. And the idea of, hey, they don't beat themselves, that might sound simple, but it's really easy to take that for granted because that happens all over college football every single week. And certainly not to IU, at least not yet, a 9-0 start. The Hoosiers playing some of the best football in program history, and they're trending towards even a Big Ten championship, the number 2 team in the nation after taking down Maryland. Now, we were talking about this game, at least I was, on my program on Friday, kind of previewing what fans should expect to hear from that Saturday game. It's homecoming. It's College Park. Maryland's a really bad team. IU is going to win, but I did think that the matchup wasn't all that good. Maryland does not rely on the run. We know that IU's best attribute on either side of the ball is their run defense, and it was really good in a limited sample size. What did you make of how the defense played given the matchup? I thought it was a pretty bad matchup. As far as scheme goes, I still thought IU's defense was going to have a day, and they did. I still thought they would win, and they certainly did. But I still think that the IU defense was really impressive.
That's all they've been all year long. Yeah. They've been consistently great. Consistently, don't make mistakes again. That carries over. And they've allowed 7 touchdowns, I believe, on the season.
Wow.
In 9 games. Only 3 of those are in the second half, And I know at least one of those came on a busted play in the Maryland game where one of the defenders fell down. And one of the others was against Old Dominion, I think,
yeah,
in the fourth quarter against the Twos. So this defense has just been relentless all season. They either get to the quarterback or make life hard on him. The secondary really stood up this week. Some great interceptions, but not just that. These strips and fumbles that Indiana forced. Maryland had turned the ball over five times heading into the game with Indiana. Indiana forced five turnovers in their game with Maryland. So that is a staggering thing. I mean, they were creating these turnovers. They were taking the ball away. They were literally going up, intercepting the ball, knocking the ball out of their hands, picking it up. Boykin runs one in for a touchdown that he stripped, and then Byron Baldwin, the youngster, gets one himself, not for a score, but another turnover. This Indiana team is just getting better, and I think they are starting to feed on their success, Brad.
Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat is here on WREF on the Ref's Call. Driven by D. Patrick Nissan, I'm Brad Klein. You can hear Jim's show every single weekday from 1 to 3 right here on 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. Talking about Hoosier football, you know, one thing from this game that a lot of people are talking about, I don't really care about it, but Elijah Surratt's reception record, his streak with a catch, that's dead after he went down early in the game with a hamstring injury. What do you make of the injury, and what do you know, kind of a status update on where he's at for the upcoming week coming up against Wisconsin?
Well, when it comes to injuries, it's pretty much a guess unless we have been told specifically. And what we've been told on that injury is that it just he felt a twinge, and he's been dealing with it for a couple weeks, been able to play, but they just didn't want to risk it and took him out. And kind of the same with Aiden Fisher. It's supposedly precautionary, but I'll be honest with you, I'm wondering if either of them play this week because of what's coming up, because of what's ahead. And I know that this game is of uber importance. You cannot overlook it, and you cannot take it for granted because you're going into a 100-plus thousand-seat stadium. And so it's they still want to win. So you cannot look at last Saturday, Brad, how many upsets there were, how many ranked teams were beaten. It happens all the time, and so you've got to be on the top of your game. So, but not having those guys, they're not going to have Drew Evans for sure. So there's another one, but they've done well on the offensive line still with replacing him, Zen Mikowski, and moving some guys around. But, you know, they definitely want Elijah Surratt back. Fortunately, they have so many weapons, and that they even – receiver-wise, DJ Williams and, of course, Omar Cooper, amongst others, Norikowski, the tight end, getting involved. And then if you look at the running game, like Fernando Mendoza said, hey, you want to kind of shut down our passing game? Then we'll shove 368 yards down your throat on the ground, which is what Indiana did.
Yeah, and there's a certain spunk and attitude of that, or you could just say, okay, we're going to beat you whichever way you want us to beat you because we can do it however we need to. Fernando Mendoza knows that, and, you know, it's something that is worth talking about. Against Maryland, I don't even think it's necessarily a bad thing. Mendoza did throw an interception. He only had 200 yards in the air. Granted, Surratt wasn't there, his number one option as far as receivers go. So a bit of a step back statistically for him, but then again, the offense put up 55 points. They can beat you however they want to beat you. But I don't know about you, Jim. I'm really impressed with this young man. I mean, he knows what the conversation is around him right now. It's Heisman Trophy. It's number one overall pick. He's not. I'm not seeing any greed from him. I'm not seeing any problem with him not throwing the ball as much, not taking shots downfield, because that's just not what this team needs right now. Kind of like a J.J. McCarthy type, where he doesn't feel like he needs to be the center of attention, even though he is QB1 on one of the best teams in the nation. What do you see from Fernando Mendoza as far as the makeup of this guy to make sure that he fits what IU is doing right now?
Exactly what you just said. He's a winner. His goal is to win. He used a great phrase when he talked about having to take that 45-yard safety at Iowa and how he probably, he's sorry that he probably wrecked everybody's bets that day, jokingly said that, because he just uber aware of everything involved with the game. But but his line was, I took the Indiana money line, and that is to win. So that's all that matters to Fernando Mendoza. Of course he wants to win the Heisman Trophy, but he wants to win it within the confines of leading this team in the best way that he can and leading them to a Big Ten and possibly a national championship. And, yeah, that used to sound crazy. Maybe at the beginning of the year that still sounded crazy.
Yeah.
It did, to be honest with you, Brad. But now think about this. Indiana this is more than possible, could win the Big Ten championship. They could win the national championship. They could have a Heisman Trophy winner, and the Colts could win the Super Bowl.
Well, I definitely think you're right in that regard, but then again, the Colts coming off of a loss. Now, that's not to say that they're out of it, certainly not. We were talking about it yesterday on the show, but yeah, the Colts certainly have an opportunity there, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. I'm more interested in kind of you and your opinion here on this team right now, Jim, because we know that IU's in a great spot. We also know, going back to Surratt and Fisher getting banged up against Maryland, we know that really it seems like at this point the only thing that could knock down this team with all the momentum, how well they're playing, is injuries. The rest of their regular season, they're playing against teams that don't have a single conference win. Wisconsin, Purdue, and next week it will be Penn State next week. Then they're playing Wisconsin, and then they're playing Purdue. So clearly their road is really, really clear. Their space is, it belongs to them, because there's no one else that seems like they could beat them. But I'll ask you this: if you're Kurt Cignetti, how cautious are you being with your star players, whether it be even on the offensive line or skill position guys, and how do you balance health versus rest and making sure they're ready for the big games that we're talking about right now, Big Ten Championship, College Football Playoff?
Well, that's the key to the rest of this season, and I alluded to it a minute ago in saying that, I don't know that they play. And today in the pressers, Kurt Cignetti said, my number one priority is player health and safety. So he's not going to put somebody out there that's not pretty close to 100%. And because, like I said, what is at stake in the future? Now, they could lose a game, and it's not going to slow their train down. They could actually lose to Penn State. It would hurt them in the rankings, but they're still going to go to the Big Ten Championship. Now, that might knock them out of a top four berth if that were to happen, which I don't expect it. I'm just saying, playing devil's advocate, if they don't. But they played without him for the most part against Maryland, and I know this is not Maryland, but we got a good look. You've got guys that are getting time, like Byron Baldwin, who's coming in, and plenty of others, Zen Mikowski putting in minutes. You're building up your own depth at the moment, but that's the key for Indiana. They've got to get and stay healthy. So for this big picture stuff that I'm talking about, they've got to be at the top of their game. They can't go in against, say, Ohio State in a Big Ten championship and not have these guys. So getting back to answering your question, it's, I don't have the answer because I don't know where they are as far as injury. But if there's even a hint of a question, I think they don't play, just in an abundance of caution. But we'll see. It's a great question, brother, and I wish I could give you a better answer, but I hope that's something.
No, I think it's also stylistically, like, what would you do? It's kind of an interesting thought exercise for me, for you, for the people listening right now of, okay, if I'm Kurt Cignetti and I'm seeing this wide open lane to an undefeated regular season And I don't think, by the way, even if they play their twos at certain spots, they're probably still going to beat Purdue. If they were to rest even Mendoza, they could probably still beat Purdue. Purdue's terrible. But how much do you want to bench guys for the sake of health and risk also, not even rust, but the incremental improvement of your team? Because I know that they're working and they're improving every single week. It's just an interesting debate that I feel like even trickles into the NFL late in the season when you start talking about, and who knows, maybe the Indianapolis Colts are in this spot. You start talking about, okay, we're coming up on the playoffs and we're getting ready for a bye, but we're going to sit Daniel Jones, we're going to sit Jonathan Taylor so that they can rest up and get that extra bye ahead of the postseason. So, Jim, before I let you go, and I really appreciate you talking about IU football here, you know what, maybe I'll even keep you and ask you about the basketball team, but we're talking about football here. Indianapolis Colts, where are we at with them? I know that we're, what, 9 games into the season. They just lost to the Steelers last weekend. I know that a lot of people are still really optimistic about the Colts. I'm just kind of curious, with you being up close and personal in Indy, how you feel about them.
Yesterday was one of those games that happens. You could kind of tell early on not much was going well for the Colts, and certainly they turned the ball over 6 times, but still only lost by 7.
I know it.
I mean, they battled and battled and battled and tried to overcome adversity, and did in a lot of ways. So there's some great learning lessons. You're not going – no one's going through the NFL undefeated anymore. This is professional football, so it's even every game you're playing professionals. Not surprised. It was just one of those games where, you know, the law of averages caught up to them. Everything has been going so well for them, but I think they're fine. I still think that they're one of the best teams in the NFL, and they'll get it back together.
Tomorrow night is Indiana basketball's season opener against Alabama A&M, and we're very much looking forward to it. A 7 o'clock Central tip at Assembly Hall. The Hoosiers going toe-to-toe with the Bulldogs. But I want to ask you about not only this game, but really about where this team should be end of the year. Before the season starts, I'd love to get you and your prediction for the season of where they're going to end up in the Big Ten, where they're going to end up in the NCAA tournament picture, and how you feel about this team.
Boy, prognosticating from the beginning of the season in college athletics now is a it's a dangerous thing to do. Ask all those who made Texas number 1 and Penn State number 2
yeah.
in the football poll.
Yeah.
And now it comes out, you know, Purdue is number 1 in the preseason and picked as the favorite to win the national championship. And I'm not in that club personally. I don't think that they're good enough to do that. I don't think that they're going to have the talent at guard to go through the gauntlet that they'll have to go through. Neither here nor there. We'll get plenty of time to see that. Indiana opening up against Alabama A&M should be, not that big of a problem. We'll get to see them play against somebody else again. Indiana is going to have to deal with length. Any team that has athletic guys with length, they're going to have problems this season. They got out rebounded like 44-26 to Baylor, although they won the game, and they make up for it in other ways. They're going to be challenged every game, and boy, I can't imagine they finish any higher than, you know, maybe 7th to the 10th spot in the Big Ten. And if they can do that, they'll probably make the tournament. I think they might beat win some games that maybe they're not supposed to this year, but they also have a wicked pre-conference schedule, Brad, with Kentucky and Louisville and Marquette on there alone. So, and I'll be up in Chicago this weekend for the Marquette game, which is on Sunday. So they'll get tested pretty early after this little tune-up with Alabama A&M.
It's crossover season for us down here in Evansville, but also for Jim Coyle, Indiana Sports Beat 1-3 Central, right here on WRUF every single weekend. I'll get you out of here on this, Jim. How do you cope with crossover season? It ain't easy, but you're balancing football, you're balancing basketball. What does that look like for you?
Go suitcase on the ground, empty it out, throw it in the dirty clothes, fill it back up. Head back out on the weekend, baby.
That sounds about right.
That's what it's been like for the last Eugene and Maryland and Chicago up next, so it's, yeah, it gets busy. But, hey, I could be digging ditches.
I don't think I'd want to deal with a ditch that you dug. I don't think that you dig a good ditch. Is that fair?
I would certainly get after it. You might as well. If you're going to do it right. Right, man?
Jim, I really appreciate you taking the time. Again, 1 to 3 Central every single weekday right here on WREF Indiana Sports Beat. That's Jim Coyle on the Brinker's Jewelers phone line. Remember, Brinker's Jewelers can be found on the corner of Green River Road and the Lloyd Expressway in Evansville, tradition since 1972. That little green box from Brinker's Jewelers. Also find them online at brinkersjewelers.com. With that, we take a step aside. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan on 97.7. Listen to TheRef.com and the WREF mobile app.